And welcome everyone to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, July 16, the 16th day of July, 2025. I want to just welcome everyone into the Rumble chat. If you're watching us on Rumble, please give us a thumbs up. Also follow us. That does help our numbers, helps our penetration into the masses. With me tonight, two honorable gentlemen with character and integrity, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Of course, he does a radio show every weekday morning, so this is like in the middle of the night for him, given the fact that he wakes up pretty early. I'm saying something like 3:15 or so in the morning, and to prepare for his show. And of course, so we also have Randy Taylor with me, and RT at HagmannPI.com on X as well. Randy Taylor on X. Follow him. The links are in the program description box at HagmannPI.com. So having said all of that, I want to welcome everyone into the show. I want to welcome you. We're going to have a panel discussion tonight as best we can. Well, we can do it, right? Well, of course we can. It's some interesting things, obviously, during the night. Israel bombing Syria. Did you see that, folks? Including Damascus, areas in Damascus. You just keep that in the back of your mind, okay? Or in the front of your mind, depending on where you are. And the good news versus the bad news versus the news. We have the Department of Justice firing Marine Comey. But the only thing I've got to say about that is it's about time. Marine Comey out the door. Bye-bye. Of course, Comey is a federal prosecutor who filed key court documents to keep the Epstein files under seal. Just saying. Now, also, Israel engineers developed this new mRNA, quote, vaccine. Yeah, every time I see that word, I think, not so much. Making human cells produce black death proteins. Uh-huh. Okay. This is an article that appeared, I believe, in the Advanced Science, Journal of Advanced Science. I'm not exactly where it appeared. I'll put the link in the description box at agmanpi.com, but it's about this being a potential biological weapon. And I'll say this, Israel has never ratified any or signed on any treaty or anything to ratify the Biological Weapons Convention, meaning that it's military bioengineering of the, for example, the plague bacterium and insertion of a virulence genes into an mRNA shot occurs outside the binding framework of the international bioweapons law. In other words, they don't have to agree because they're not part of that. Israel, just saying. And I should add this, the U.S. provides Israel with about $3.8 billion, that's with a B, in military aid annually. And that's based, and we're scheduled to continue that through 2028 based on a Memorandum of Understanding, or a MOU, M-O-U. What do you think of that? Just, you know, what the hell's going on? And John Moore sent us a link today. Alex Jones was talking about this, and I thought it was a fabulous discussion because this is part of a larger mosaic. In my view, here's the deal. Okay. We're looking at, and Randy Taylor and myself, we talked about this last night. We're looking at a president who I believe is worthy of high praise for the border, high praise for a lot of things, for turning things around. Even the CEO of Home Depot is saying, hey, man, I didn't expect all the good stuff, but there it is. But then we're looking at something a little bit different. Promises made, but promises not kept. So, you know, anytime there's chaos, I believe that there is a problem. And that problem stems from lies. Now, what's the motive behind the lies, the deception, the 180s? What's going on with that? And rather than call names and say, well, you know what? New boss, same as the old boss. Maybe so. But I don't think that's the case. I think we have to look at this a little bit deeper. And this is just my view, and I'm going to turn it over to these two fine gentlemen. And we're going to talk. But I'm looking at this in a bigger picture sort of way. If you look at this as a giant puzzle or mosaic, I don't think you can look at any one part of that mosaic by itself. And the reason I say that is because you've got too many intricate working parts where you can't, you cannot necessarily take over one part. Well, I suppose you could, but you would have, I mean, when you look at the bigger picture of things, the bigger picture of where we are headed, I think the interconnectivity of events needs to be investigated deeper and not just with sound bites and little pebbles of data here and there. So that's kind of my opening statement for this, whether we talk about the fluoride issue. That's what John sent me link about our Department of Justice. What the heck? Saying keep the fluoride in the water. Wait a second. What? Why? And John's got some information on that. And again, you might think, well, wait a second. You're talking about fluoride. When bombs are going off in the Middle East, we have all kinds of stuff. It's all part of the same program, the bigger picture. If we look at this and ship away at this, who knows? You start kicking rocks, uncovering things under rocks, man. I'm telling you what. You're going to find some things. So with me, John Moore, Randy Taylor. Gentlemen, welcome, and thank you for both coming on tonight. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Doug. Good to be here.
Yeah. Absolutely a pleasure to be here, sir.
So I'm going to ask you. I sent Eric the tech, the video. Yeah, but plus, there was a discussion within the link that you sent within your group. Pam Bondi appeared at TPUSA over the weekend, and Turning Point USA over the weekend, and there is a 4-minute video of her explaining a little bit about what's going on. So you've got Alex Jones, the link he sent, however long it is, 10 minutes or so, saying basically what I said, and then Bondi kind of coming in and saying, wait a second, look, we're in a fight of our lives, and don't overlook the good stuff for the other stuff. But again, WTF is where I'm at. What the hell's going on? So we have wins, we have losses, or we have wins, we have changes of mind. I mean, John, where do you want to start?
Okay, well, thank you. I've been talking about fluoride publicly. I've given sworn testimony before a county commission, St. Charles County, about on this matter more than 20 years ago. So I've been very aware of this level, of this matter at a scientific level and political level for decades. So where do you begin? How deep do you want to jump into this, Doug? That's my starting point.
this meaning what? The fluoride issue?
The fluoride issue. Yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know.
Well, we can't. Okay, it's always good to assume your audience knows nothing. That's a good starting point.
How about assuming I know nothing? Because sometimes I feel that way. I don't know about anyone else. But
okay, well, okay, here's how the current issue began. In the 1940s, we had the Manhattan Project to manufacture atomic weapons. Part of what they needed to do this manufacturing was sodium fluoride. So they started manufacturing sodium fluoride. And there was an accidental release in New Jersey that contaminated farms, killing horses and cattle and contaminating the fields. The meeting at the time was called, and they knew that they would have massive lawsuits once the war was over, and that they needed to have a cover story. The cover story was that sodium fluoride was good for people's teeth, and that, in fact, they would put it in the public drinking water. And they concocted and fabricated out of thin air studies showing fluoride was good for people's teeth, which was a complete lie. The first city to put it in their drinking water was Rochester, New York. Once again, they used fabricated studies based on non-science to show that it was beneficial for people's teeth. And it went from there, gaining momentum in the 50s and into the 60s. We're at a point now where 200 million Americans are being poisoned with the fluoride every day they consume it or bathe in it. So,
okay, let me just stop you right there and ask you a question, because Randy and I were talking about this as well. Do you think, okay, because of the timing of the fluoride, now folks, think about this with me, because again, let's look at the entire tapestry here, tapestry of events, current and former. Do you think the timing of this, is this not an effort to control the population?
That's an excellent rabbit trail to follow for a little bit. An excellent manual. If most of our listeners have a private library in their homes, most people have heard of the Merck manual, which is in almost every doctor's office in the country. This is the Merck index, and the Merck index lists every man-made chemical compound, including the sodium fluoride, how it's made, what the chemical composition is, what it's used for, and what dangers it presents. So in that manual, it's mentioned that fluoride was used to kill mice and insects. It no longer is. In fact, when I gave my testimony for the St. Charles County Commission, I had an antique can of fluoride that used to be sold in hardware stores to kill insects and mice. It no longer is, because it's way too dangerous. They can't let that stuff out in the public. It's way too dangerous. In fact, it's so strong that a solution of water, plain old water, and sodium fluoride will etch glass. There aren't many things that can etch glass, but that chemical composition will. So let's talk a little bit about what happened. Well, first of all, it'd be good to talk a little bit about the people that support fluoride in drinking water. They only talk about human consumption through drinking and the benefits for teeth. First of all, there are no benefits for teeth. Second of all, they never mention the additional fluoride you get from bathing or showering in it, which is tremendous. A pint or more of water is absorbed by the human body when you bathe or shower in it. That's massive. That's a massive intake. Let's talk about where we are right now, going back to maybe the 1980s. In the mid-1980s, U.S. Army had to change the running shoes for the troops and young men and women in basic training, because so many ankles and knee injuries, broken bones from running. So look at what we do as investigators frequently, Doug. We look at what's the same and what's different. We look at the same, they had the same running gear, which was combat boots, the same surface, which was these quarter mile tracks with cinder tracks. So those two things were the same. What was different was the bones and the youngsters running, and they were breaking. They were breaking because of the brittle bones due to the fluoride intake. So they couldn't change the bones, they couldn't change the surface. What they did change was the running gear, and they began in early to mid 1980s to have these youngsters run in tennis shoes, running shoes, instead of combat boots, which I don't know if it completely eliminated, but it dramatically reduced the broken bones and damaged ankles that these youngsters were experiencing. I used to belong to, well, before I moved out here to the country, First Baptist Church of St. Louis. One of our congregation was the head coach, the athletic director of the largest suburban school district in St. Louis County, thousands of boys and girls. And I told him about this, and I said, Coach, these youngsters will break bones. So he listened to me patiently, thinking, well, here's more John Moore's conspiracy, black helicopter conspiracy theories. But he thought enough of me and what I said to talk to his older coaches. These were men in their 60s. This would have been about 1995, 1996. We've been coaching for their entire adult life. And here's what the football coaches told the athletic director, who was a young man in his mid-30s. They said, Coach, if we push these boys like we did 30 years ago, they will break bones. And so he was convinced at that point. Now, follow up. My daughter, she came to live with me and my wife, and she brought her three-year-old son in the summer of 2001, excuse me. And she went to work at a very nice destination restaurant in St. Louis. About the second week she was there, she came to me and she said, Dad, how come so many St. Louisans have these white spots on their teeth? And I said, well, honey, that's the outward sign of fluorosis, fluoride poisoning. It's the outward sign of it, meaning that these people, their teeth are brittle, their bones are brittle, and every organ in their body is being adversely affected by the fluoride, including the pineal gland, which is also called the pineal gland, an organ in the middle of your brain. It looks like an eyeball that is essential for your brain to work properly. And if you consume fluoride, that essential organ has been calcified and cannot function properly anymore. Moving on from there, we have several cities celebrating that they removed all the lead pipes in their cities to reduce the lead poisoning. Well, that's not quite accurate what's going on. Pure water does not leach the lead out of lead water pipes. It can't. It won't. But if you put fluoride in drinking water, it leaches the lead out of the pipes, puts in a solution, and people consume it, getting lead poisoning in addition to the fluoride poisoning. So that's happening all over the country. In fact, there was a lawsuit. The plaintiffs were saying that the city of Washington, D.C. was poisoning everybody by putting fluoride in water, which was leaching the lead out of the pipes, poisoning people with lead. I never followed up on that. That lawsuit began 15 or 16 years ago, Doug. Quite frankly, I haven't followed up on it to see what the outcome was. Chances are it was buried and never to be heard from again. But that lawsuit was filed at one time against Washington, D.C. So fluoride is poison. Fluoride causes lower IQ. That's been demonstrated publicly. Most people don't know what IQ measures, Doug. Do you know what IQ measures?
Not by definition. Not specifically. No,
okay.
I don't.
Okay. Well, what IQ measures is not, people think it measures how smart you are. That can't be done. What it does measure is how fast your brain works. That's what IQ measures. And if you have a 100 IQ, you can own and manage a car dealership. You have a 90 IQ, you're probably going to be the janitor. That's the difference 10 points makes in IQ. And it doesn't sound like much, but it's massive. It is massive. And as I said earlier, if you put fluoride in a drinking water, your city will have no genius-level IQ youngsters. It simply is going to happen because that reduced IQ. So what have we lost these past more than 70 years, going back to Rochester, New York? How many genius-level IQs have we not had that could have solved various issues with medicine, have been brilliant accountants, brilliant business people that simply didn't reach that level of achievement because of the reduced IQ due to the fluoride that they're consumed as youngsters.
All right. Now, let me just stop you there for a second. I can't speak for Randy Taylor, but for me, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, what exactly here is the motive behind this? Because I look for motive.
There's possibly several motives, but one possible one would be to have the population be more compliant. The active ingredient, the ingredient that makes several psychotropic drugs work, is fluoride. So if you want a compliant population that doesn't protest, doesn't object to what you're doing, you feed them water with fluoride in it to make them compliant. In fact, concentration camps in Europe in World War II, the German concentration camps, they put fluoride in the water to make the prisoners compliant. The Russians did the same thing in their camps, their prisoner of war camps. They put fluoride in water to make the prisoners more compliant and less subject to any hostile or aggressive behavior. So it's well documented. It goes back at least to World War II, the knowledge that fluoride consumed by human beings makes them more compliant and less aggressive.
All right, let me, and Randy, I want you to jump in here. Let me make a leap then. Einstein said, speculate, there's a place for speculation, reason speculation. So let me make a leap here. Of course, I'm paraphrasing Einstein, but the same people or the same organizations, institutions that pushed for the fluoride, that actually were behind the various government programs for mind control, for controlling the population, for ultimately dumbing us down, making us subservient to the larger agenda, are really still in power and play in play. So I'm bringing it forward to today from post-World War II, the OSS to the CIA and such. Again, looking at the bigger picture here, when you have the Department of Justice in the same time saying, okay, we're not going to, there are no Epstein files, documents, whatever, it doesn't exist, when Bondi, of course, said it did. And then now they're suing to keep fluoride in the water. Okay, but that same Department of Justice, I suspect, or at least at the FBI level, fires Maureen Comey. Okay, so you've got like this schizophrenic situation going on, in my view. Again, looking at the bigger picture here, and people right now are the MAGA base is fractured, and Randy and I spoke about this yesterday. You know, people, I can see in the chat people saying, well, Trump's a traitor. Okay, hold on a second, man. I mean, if he was,
that's a big jump.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I don't believe that. I don't know what's going on, but something is not right here, John. I mean, so, okay, hold that thought, John. Randy, your thoughts, and then kick it back to John.
On the fluoride issue, it's not something I've studied. I did a quick search on it. I see what John's talking about. Get the different things it does to the human body, dental fluorosis, skeletal fluorosis, neurological effects, kidney and liver function. It affects that. Thyroid function. These are things that overexposure to fluoride can definitely do. And,
I would say simple exposure, but not overexposure.
Exposure.
Exposure period, right.
I remember as a kid having fluoride treatments done by the school.
Right.
We'd take it out in the hall, put in the dental chair, you know, and they'd put that crap on your teeth and let it sit there. And then you put this other thing in your mouth after you brushed, and there's a whole thing. And they were selling you on fluoride because they also talked about fluoride in the water at that time. I quit drinking city water simply because it tasted like crap. I didn't really do it over fluoride until I realized what I knew about fluoride, which wasn't a bunch. But I don't like the thought of having something, I'm consuming something without my permission. That's just a real basic issue. But the fluoride, we were always sold. It was sold to us that it was for the teeth. That was. And they would always point to the English and go, they don't have fluoride in their water. And
look at their mouth. Yeah,
exactly. No, I get that. I remember the first few English people I saw looked like something out of Deliverance. So, you know,
okay.
But we drank, like at our house, we drank like reverse osmosis water. We don't drink anything out of the tap. I do cook with it because I boil it.
Okay. But even at that level, okay. Again, most people will, and I kind of almost somewhat agree. I
mean, we don't even give Ranger tap water.
Oh yeah, I don't. Yes, yeah. My dogs do not drink tap water. But so okay, John. Looking at this, is this part again? This has got to be part of a larger agenda, right? I mean, is this not?
What you said, compliance, though.
Right. Well, the normal methods we use to track down somebody that's aren't necessarily going to work in this case. who benefits from having a compliant population? That would be the people who want to control us. That would be the New World Order. They don't want opposition to what their agenda, obviously. There's money to be made, obviously, treating all the 200 million Americans who suffer from the effects of being poisoned. And by the way, there is no known safe level of fluoride for a human being to consume. That level does not exist.
Safe level.
There is no safe level.
Correct.
No. It doesn't
exist. Even on the toothpaste tubes, Crest and all that, it says, do not swallow. Do not swallow. Well, no, if you're...
Let me correct you. Here's what it says. If you swallow it, call poison control.
Yeah, well, sorry about that, but yeah.
Yeah. Now, why would you put something in your body, in your mouth, that says poison control if you swallow it? Now, we have many moms listening to us, and moms perform the first level of health care in all families, and many medicines are put under the tongue. That organ, the tongue, anything you put there will be absorbed to the bloodstream almost instantly, just about as good as injecting it with a needle.
Nitro tablets, that's,
exactly.
At least two of us in this conversation are familiar with that, but go ahead.
Well, that mucous membrane, so you put the toothpaste there, whatever's in that toothpaste, including the fluoride, is being instantly absorbed to the bloodstream through that mucous membrane under your tongue. So you don't have to swallow it. It's already being absorbed right into your bloodstream.
Right.
So there's money to be made selling the fluoride. There's money to be made treating the tens of millions. We have 200 million people today that will be consuming fluoride in their drinking water and bathing in it. I find it interesting that those who advocate the fluoride being healthy for your teeth, they never, ever talk about absorbing it into your body by bathing in it. They don't talk about that because that basically doubles the amount of fluoride that you're absorbing above and beyond whatever you're drinking. And we have lots of issues to deal with here as talk show host, as a country, what's going on politically, what's going on with the Middle East, what's going on with China.
But again, the reason I brought this up, both these gentlemen, is first is because I just see when you read the headline, Department of Justice suing to keep fluoride in the water.
Right.
Okay. It's not the fluoride. I mean, it is the fluoride, but we're looking at a bigger picture here. They're not doing it because, man, you know, we care about your teeth, man. We right. care about it, honestly. No, right. it's right. a bigger picture.
I want to expand on something Randy mentioned, take it to a deeper level. Randy mentioned he did not want to consume things without his consent. At the end of World War II, we had trials in Nuremberg, Germany. And at the end of that, we had what's called the Nuremberg Code, which is basically international law that you cannot offer anybody to consume any medical procedure or medical treatment or drug without informed consent first.
How well did that work out? I'm just saying, go ahead.
Right. Well, if you're consuming fluoride, which is a chemical compound, without giving informed consent first, you're obviously violating the Nuremberg Code. Every city that's doing it is violating the Nuremberg Code, putting these harmful, dangerous, crazy dangerous chemicals into people's bodies and without their informed consent. We still have, occasionally I go to the supermarket every week or so. I'll go to the section where they sell bottled water by the gallon for babies that very graciously has fluoride in it to help the baby. So mothers are still buying these gallons of water. If they don't live in a city where there's fluoride in drinking water, they buy these gallons of water so they can help their baby be healthy, which of course is harming the baby. And so it continues to this day. 200 million Americans, more than half the population, is consuming this poison on a daily basis and will do so until it's banned. And I'll repeat your question. Why would the Department of Justice oppose removing this poison from the drinking water? And I haven't read the brief. They filed a brief in support of the EPA to keep it in the water. And I was talking to my dentist about this a couple of months ago. I said, won't the American Dental Association be sued once it's revealed publicly that they've been encouraging this poison for decades? And he didn't have an answer, obviously. His partner knows it's harmful, but he still uses it because he wants the money. My dentist won't refuse to use it because he knows it's poison. And we have dentists all over the country doing what Randy talked about, offering fluoride treatments for people's teeth. There's one documented case where the dentist got the amount wrong, and the child died in the dental care, in the dental chair from the fluoride treatment to his teeth.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that.
I've heard that too.
Yes.
So well, go ahead, Randy.
I was in the second grade.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we can excuse that. But
I didn't know Alex at the time.
Okay. So here's, okay. If I can just kind of almost moderate this, just put a pin in that for now. What I'd like to do is,
and what John was saying, real quick.
Well, go ahead.
What John was saying about in the Army in the 80s, that's when I was in the Army, early 80s. And yep. It's funny that you mentioned the bones breaking in the feet and ankles, because we lost guys, bones breaking in the feet and ankles. The fastest guy in our entire company, this guy was from Arkansas and could run like the wind. Foot just broke on a track like you were talking about, John, on
right.
a cinder track,
right?
Flat
right.
ground,
right? Right.
And this Bill, I won't say his last name, but I remember him breaking his foot. You remember what started with my feet?
Yeah,
the charcoal foot. Suddenly, for some reason, my left foot just the bones became weak and shattered. Now, like I said, I haven't drank city water and 40 years. You know what I'm saying?
But the John, with respect to that, and that's a good point, because the damage caused, okay, you can, I'm sure there's chelation therapy, you can get the heavy metals out as a way to mitigate the potential damage, but really the damage is there, correct? Yep. The IQ and the physical.
Right. Well, once you've reduced IQ by 10 points, that's it. You're done. You're finished.
And come on, you've met the population. You've met the people that vote Democrat. Come on, Doug. I know there's an IQ deficit in this country.
And social media proves it. I mean, social media did not create, I don't think it created a large part of the insanity, but I think it exposed
and,
it.
And you know, this whole globalist thing, a lot of people, you know, act like globalists just appeared 20 years ago. Globalists have been around a long time. The idea of globalization, they traced all the way back to Alexander the Great, because he was trying to combine the world and cultures. You know, just that concept of globalization. Think about it.
Yep.
Stop and think about that. You know, but the globalists, the hardcore globalists that we're dealing with and we've been dealing with hot and heavy, I mean, these people are ruthless. So when you think about it, they're ruthless. They've got blood all over their hands, and they don't care. They're just after the money. Okay. The money and the power. The power and the money.
Right. And I, John, I want to apologize to you, but because perhaps the fluoride issue, it was an awkward place to start tonight. But I just, again, looking at this, if our Department of Justice is going against, first of all, going against the base of MAGA, going against really RFK, his agenda, but going against the betterment of the American people, we have a major problem here. And again, along with lines with the Epstein situation, which I know people are so sick of this crap. I don't want to talk about that anymore, but we have to, in the context of the larger issue. And I think the larger issue that I'm going to point out to, or I ask you guys, I mean, if you want to segue from this topic, John, or if you want to continue, but Randy, but segueing from that, potentially, is what the hell is going on in the larger sense?
Hard to say. We're also seeing another plus right now is Trump's eyeballing the Federal Reserve chairman.
Well, he's been doing that for the last
but putting the heat on him, and yeah. I mean, Trump's after driving the interest rates down. That's what he wants. He wants those interest rates driven down. So we can say a lot of good things for Trump, but then we're seeing a lot of things that don't make sense. And you know, the election issue was this Ukraine thing, sending money to Ukraine, supporting Ukraine. You know, Trump was going to get in there and talk to Putin, and this thing would be end in no time. And
and now it's not so much.
This is gonna. Yeah, Doug, with Israel, and John, with Israel bombing Syria.
Right.
Remember how weird Putin got when the Arab Spring got close to Russia.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah. Let's expand on that.
And what happened in Syria? You know, he started feeding Syria munitions and whatever they needed to keep NATO and the Syrian Freedom Fighters, which were Al Qaeda and ISIS, to keep them at bay, and they were being unemployed by us. They were being supported by us, the United States.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Now, okay, boy, John and Randy, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we were notified, and as a matter of fact, Gateway Pundit has, Eric the Tech, I think I might have sent this to you. Now, I talk about staying in our lanes. I mean, John is a great investigator, homicide investigator. I mean, he's got his focus, and he's great at drilling down. Randy Taylor, you've got some extremely valuable talents. You drill down. I try to do the same. Now, in this case here, to combine the various things, which you just mentioned, Randy, the department or the FBI, Kash Patel, did you see this? And your thoughts, because, John, you're in the legal system, you're an investigator, as am I, as is Randy. We're all three of us here are credentialed investigators. The question I have, when you look at Kash Patel saying that he's going after Hillary, he's going after Comey, he's going after Clapper, Brennan, he's going after really the people that set up the Russian collusion hoax. This is big. And
it's massive. It's massive.
That's huge.
So with your permission, again, the segue here I think is important, because when you look at the events of the last, I'm going to say at least the last 25 years, which we can go back further, but in small chunks here, I think this is perhaps one of the biggest deals, biggest issues that we can possibly imagine. If I may, Eric the Tech, can we play the connector video here, the one from Gateway Pundit? I think I might have sent it to you. Do you have it, Eric the Tech? Do you have? Okay. Because this will move us now into kind of encompassing the entirety of what we're up against. And I think it's important to really look at this and say, wait a second, maybe there is some genuine attempts to take down the deep state here. So let's play 2 minutes of the Gateway Pundit and then your comments on the other side. Here it is.
FBI Director Kash Patel launches a grand criminal conspiracy probe targeting Obama, Brennan, Clapper, and Comey. That and more on today's Week in Review on Gateway Pundit. Hi, everyone. I'm Anna Perez filling in for Elijah Schaefer on the Week in Review on Gateway Pundit. We have a lot to get into today, starting with the top story that FBI Director Kash Patel is launching a grand criminal conspiracy probe targeting Obama, Brennan, Clapper, and Comey. Now, this story right here is interesting because I think it's something a lot of people wanted to see happen. So let's dig into it a little bit. This is, of course, by Jim Hoft over at the Gateway Pundit. FBI Director Kash Patel has launched a grand criminal conspiracy investigation into the decade-long weaponization of the federal government, a probe that specifically circumvents the statute of limitations, allowing investigators to finally pursue justice for long-buried crimes. According to the report by Just the News, Barack Obama, John Brennan, James Clapper, James Comey, and other high-level Obama-era operatives have been named in the investigation, which shows a coordinated criminal conspiracy to target political enemies, shield Democrat allies, and manipulate multiple presidential elections from 2016 through 2024. So obviously, if you've been following politics since around 2015, when Trump announced that he was going to run for president the first time around, you know what a big deal this is, because they spied on Trump. They spied on the Trump campaign. And Trump was calling this out a long time ago, and he was called crazy. He was called a conspiracy theorist. MAGA supporters were called conspiracy theorists for saying this, for wanting to look into this. So this is a big deal. Now that Trump is back in the White House, now that he has his own cabinet running things, this is going to make a big difference if this does come to fruition. Now, we will see as far as, you know, how this investigation will continue, what will come out of it. But, you know, this is something that I think a lot of supporters wanted for a long time. They wanted retribution. And beyond retribution, they just wanted an even playing field, because we all know that if the tables were turned, they would do this to Trump. They would do this to the Trump administration. They would want to look into, they would want to probe what anything Trump would do to the left. Trump wouldn't do this to them. That's the funny part. Kind of wish he would, right? I mean, kind of wish that Republicans had the same, use the same tactics Democrats would, then maybe things wouldn't happen the way that they do to Republicans, because they know for the most
basic facts on that. Gentlemen, the very same FBI, the very same Kash Patel, who said, you know what, we're not going to pursue the Epstein issue, is now launching, or they are launching this investigation into Obama and company. You heard the names. So again, this is a big deal. This is what we voted for.
Yes.
But are we seeing some sort of duplicitous set of actions? John, I'm going to go to you first, and then Randy second. There seems to be a lot of duplicity here with respect to the intent of the Department of Justice. Okay, very selective methods of going after things, issues, and people. So I like this, but it's not going, I don't think it's going far enough.
You mean it's more like another headline?
Well, yeah, and until we see perp walks, and John, you and I spoke about this, and Randy, you and I, until we see perp walks, I don't know. Yeah. John, your thoughts, as your experience, for what, 50 plus years in the investigative field, more than that, what do you think of that headline, and where's that going to go, do you think, or whatever?
Well, it appears that Kash Patel's statement about these investigations has to do with acts of treason against the United States, as opposed to routine crimes against underage girls. Both are crimes. Both deserve attention on one hand. On the other, those crimes against those girls on Epstein Island don't raise the level of treason. That's a category of common criminality. The actions of the former President Obama, Hillary Clinton, and others, in fact, are acts of treason, which undermined the security of the United States. You know, if I had to choose between one and the other, I would choose to prosecute and go after the treasonous acts that compromised the security of the United States if I couldn't do both. And that's what I would do.
Okay.
I absolutely agree with that. Those people that we're referring to are dangerous, and they not only represent a threat to the United States, they represent a threat directly to Trump's presidency. But, I mean, they tried to take him down before, and they proved last time that they will go to the whatever extent they have to, lying, false evidence. I mean, there's no limit with these clowns. And that group of characters, every one of them should, in my opinion, already be well into a prison sentence by now.
The White House visitors log shows President Obama there basically every working day of the year. And it says, I think, time with Joe time. That's what it said in the reason for the visit. Joe time is what President Obama wrote when he was there basically every working day of the year. It was the Biden administration was the third term administration. There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt at all.
He was running. He was running the country into the ground.
Exactly. Exactly.
And now we know more uses probably for that auto pen.
Now we have a term in special forces. If we have to abandon an area, we have what we call stay behinds. These are men that volunteer to stay behind in enemy controlled territory. And I think Obama's done the same thing. He's got stay behinds now in the State Department, which we had a lot of firings going on there, the CIA, FBI. These agencies are desperately trying to find the stay-behinds that represent the Obama interests and fire them. We've had massive firings at the State Department, and I regard almost all those firings as stay-behinds, people who represent the interests of Obama and the communists as opposed to the interests of the United States. What do you think, Randy?
I absolutely agree. They're in the DOJ, too. They're scattered all across the administration and in key positions.
That's right.
And they may be smiling and saying Trump when their loyalties lie elsewhere. That's what you got to look out for. And Trump in his first term was way too trusting. Way too trusting.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to go back even further, if you want to understand how this country works, how it's put together, get a copy of the Sunday New York Times and go to the section for schools that advertise. And you'll find schools that are soliciting parents that want to get their child into the school, the elementary school, that will in turn give them an entree into the prestigious secondary schools, because that's the entree into the Ivy League schools. And that's how the system works. And it's been doing that for generations. And it's a well-known and well-understood system on the East Coast among the elites those who would like to be among the elites. And that's who Obama has working for them, the children of the elites, who in turn become elites themselves. They've gone through the system on the East Coast of high-end private elementary schools, very special secondary schools, prep schools that lead to the Ivy League schools, that lead to becoming part of the system that runs this country. And that's what we're dealing with here, gentlemen.
Very well stated. By the way, thelibertyman.com, that's where John Moore's home base, thelibertyman.com. Go there, bookmark that website, listen to his show. Fantastic information. Mm-hmm. And it's really show prep for us. And folks, support all of John's sponsors, as well as his own products and initiatives there. Look at the headlines, read the reports. He's really got a good understanding of how things are going. And of course, Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com. That's how you can communicate with him as well. Randy Taylor is a voice on X. You know, all of us are censored throughout the media.
When I'm not getting kicked off of X, they tried to boot me a week ago.
Really?
Accused me of violent speech.
I get those messages all the time. Go on.
They shut my account, said it was going to be for a week, and I got a hold of their department, and I said, hey, I said, you might want to turn that back on. I said, because my terminology, I said, I'm sure your legal department's not going to agree with what you're thinking. They're going to agree with what I'm thinking. Right. And I used the context of bitch slap when I said, President Trump should bitch slap AOC with a lawsuit that knocks her back to the Stone Age. That's not violent speech.
Hardly at all. No, not at all.
Thank you. They came back, and I couldn't believe this. The first time X came back and apologized up and down for having shut down my account for about a half a day while they looked into it. It was the first time I won a battle with X.
Interesting.
They usually you don't win with them.
Now, thank you. And John, let me just ask this, because I've gotten a couple of emails, not recently, but in the recent past. Are you on any social media at all? Or is it just your website?
I have a small presence on X, not that much. And YouTube, I basically watch what's going on. I may do a like thing, but I rarely post something on Facebook. And I do have a presence on X, which is pretty small.
Facebook, okay.
All right. Let's go off. Are you easy to find on X?
I have an account there, and my wife is on there all the time. She's on there hours and hours a day, and she sends me stuff for me to look at, and I sometimes forward it to people like Doug, but I don't do much on X myself.
So and folks, if I can just interject this, because I am so tired of seeing people walking across streets with their heads buried in their phone on social media. That's what they're, you know, please use it use it judiciously. The way John and Randy do. I mean,
I had a kid walk out in the street today facing a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right in front of my car. And thank God my responses are, you know, my reflexes are good. But I wanted to stop and yell at him. I thought, you know what, I'm not wasting my time.
No, it's difficult. All right. So we played the video. We began talking about the fluoride issue, but not again. That's not the issue. It's an issue of a larger mosaic, the Department of Justice. Now we have the FBI, part of the Department of Justice, going after the old gang. But then are we going to see anything, or is this just performative?
Okay. That's the problem. We just don't know.
All right. And John, I think you mentioned too the various headlines. Now we're seeing bombs go off in Syria, compliments of Israel. What the hell? Now I know they're going after the Iranian strongholds there, which does that make it any better? I don't know. But then Trump say, but go on, go ahead.
Well, one of the subgroups that live in Syria are the Druze. You know, right. It's a religious group, and this, the public statement of Israel is that they're attempting to get Syria to no longer attack the Druze people. That's their publicly stated goal. So they've, last I read this afternoon, which was quite a few hours ago in the Middle East, they did 170 bombing raids to stop that activity. They also bombed the presidential palace and I think their equivalent of Congress also. It appears their goal is to get Syria to stop the attacks on the Druze religious people that live there.
Right. Randy Taylor, when you saw the headlines, what'd you think?
I honestly hope that it didn't get too far, that it didn't go too far.
Well, to me, it's almost far enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying, I didn't want it to get to escalate. You know, after boom, it's done. I mean, it wasn't like there was a lot of discussion ahead of time on it.
All right. To the both of you, what should we be watching on an international level with potential for war? But both of you have military experience, honorable. A lot of John was kicking Viet Cong's butt back in the day. RT, you did your thing with clandestine forces, shall we say. So you have the military expertise, but what should we, from a military standpoint, where should our attention lie? John, I'll ask you first. Where should we be looking, watching as American citizens, people like normal people like me, without the military background?
Well, the greatest threat to the U.S. is communist China. They now have the largest navy. They have the largest army. They're developing some really high-tech weapons and getting a lot of help from Russia on that. And their stated goal is to conquer the United States with the United States becoming new China and having no Americans present. They've also stated that they want to develop, maybe already have, biological weapons that are race-specific, Caucasian-specific, to help them in their efforts.
Kind of like a cracker bomb.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
I kind of find it funny how people like President Trump and Secretary of Defense can talk about the U.S. military being the strongest, most powerful military in the world, where we just spent 20 years against an enemy that had no air force, no navy, no heavy artillery, no missiles, barefoot, illiterate peasants in Afghanistan that had handheld weapons, and we couldn't defeat them. So if we're the world's strongest military, how come we couldn't defeat barefoot peasants with no air force, no navy, no heavy artillery? There's something incongruent with that, don't you think, Randy?
Yeah, I would say that. And much like what you dealt with the Viet Cong, and North Vietnamese soldiers, the hide among the civilians. That was a tough one. The other problem that we've dealt with is PC, being politically correct.
Oh, yes.
That in combat is an ass kicker. Okay, it doesn't work in your favor. News crews don't need to be there. Okay, there's just a filthy side of war that the civilians don't need to see. And that is what will bring you down. The reason that, if you recall, in the first conflict with Iraq, the highway of death, and they were heading back to Iraq, and our guys were just flying through there and just demolishing these people, just scattering them. I mean, slaughtering them. When those news clips hit CNN, that's when the pressure came to stop from the U.S. population. Stop. And that's why we pulled back and we let Saddam go back to Iraq. The biggest, and not to discount China, I think we have another big threat, and it's the enemy that you just spoke of, on our shores and within our population here in the continental United States, is Islam, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Iranian Revolutionary Guard, sleeper cells in this country. I think that we're going to get hit sometime. I believe it'll be sometime this year. And I believe that it'll be soft targets, and it's going to be horrible.
John, your thoughts on that? Because, wow. Yeah.
Well, I agree with Randy up to the point where he says soft targets. We've had both Chinese and Middle Eastern men caught taking photographs of military bases. So military base would not be considered a soft target. A sporting event, a shopping mall, now that would be a soft target, obviously.
Right. That's basically, I think they'll take the low-hanging fruit to start with.
Well, we can speculate on what they're going to take first, but everything's on the table.
I don't discount nuclear facilities or military bases. They're going to need what arms they don't have. I'm sure they're going to want to steal.
And
take by force.
If you want to shut down this country, shut down the power grid. You don't need explosives or weapons to shut down a power grid. You need common hardware store tools, sledgehammers, bolt cutters, and so forth to shut down the power grid. Our substations, there are thousands of substations all over the country that have a chain link fence and no guard. Very vulnerable. And this is, I'm not giving away a secret. This is common knowledge that hardware store tools can compromise and destroy all these substations all over the country. Talk about a soft target, no guards, no police, no anything. They're just exposed with a chain link fence that could be cut through with a bolt cutter in a matter of moments.
And stop and think about for 1 second what John's talking about. Your power goes out. The power at the gas station goes out, at the grocery store, anything that you deal with, there is no power. There's no credit card machines. There's nothing happening. You are now in the Stone Age.
Well, let's look a little more carefully at the military. I spent a year and a half of my life at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. More than 55,000 men and women work there and live there. The critical infrastructure, the command and control and communications, they have backup power. However, There's no backup power for the housing on post. There's no backup power at Fayetteville, which is where many men and women live. So if the power grid goes down for the on-house, on-base housing and for the civilian area around it, that pretty much shuts down the whole base. Mm-hmm. And so thinking you can run a war with only your command and control and not having the men, the 55,000 men and women having electricity at their homes is a fantasy. It's not going to happen.
And the folks, John, like the folks who live in Florida or recently in the Carolinas, that everything's wiped out. And in Florida, if you've been through hurricanes, which I went through many of them, and it was complete. The one, we were down for 2 weeks, no power, nothing. I kid you not. We had nothing. Everything was generators. At my home was generators. And then it became a problem of fuel for the generators. You know what I'm saying? It was a constant one. Right. One challenge after another. And thank God I was a businessman in town, had a lot of connections, and I was able to help neighbors, you know, so that was okay. But there was a lot of people that couldn't even get the basics.
That's right.
Basics.
That's right. You know?
Let me toss another aspect to this. Steve Quayle, to the people in the chat, people listening to this or watching this, if you watch the latest video of Steve Quayle, he was talking about the role of AI, especially by nation, at the nation state level. And I was talking to the Patriot Dr. James, John, you know him. And he said, you know, the thing, when I listened to Steve talk, the one thing he didn't get into, he stopped short of this, is for example, China using AI to take over everything in the U.S. Kind of what Randy was describing, except on steroids. Just a complete takeover, takedown of the assets of the U.S., from the power to our money to, I mean, encryption is dead, essentially, when you've got AI and supercomputers processing at the speeds they are. There's no protection. It's like having an open front and back door and windows open in your house. I mean, anyone's going to get in. And so is that, and I'll toss this to John. John, first, would the role of AI, have you considered that as part of a weapon of mass destruction against the U.S.? And is there anything, to your knowledge, being done by this administration to counter that, sir?
Well, it's difficult for me to answer that. I'm aware of AI. My wife makes use of it on a regular basis. I don't. There's a lot of issues with AI, and in fact, there's some funny parts to it. A funny part that I'm aware of, an AI company in India turned out to be 700 human beings pretending to be AI. There was no AI.
wait a second. Say that again. Did I hear that right?
An AI company in India will actually turn out not to be AI, turn out to be 700 human beings pretending to be AI.
Oh, man. why is that? I mean, that is hilarious, but
well,
okay.
They had people subscribing and paying money for this AI service, obviously. Mm-hmm. So Elon Musk attempted to warn us about the dangers of AI. He was ignored. And I think we would all be well advised to pay heed to Elon Musk's warnings about AI and the dangers involved. I'm not cognizant enough, informed enough to know what those dangers are, other than to know
trust. Trust is a danger.
We trusting a machine to make life altering decisions is not a wise thing.
No. Yeah, when you take, especially the way that we make decisions, part is intellect, part is emotion. When it's AI, it's strictly what's determined is what they would term as intellect. And that intellect. When we stop and think about that, you take all human emotion out of it, that can get kind of scary. And when you start trusting AI, which people are already doing,
of course.
Okay, now you're getting into a really bad area. And I recall, if I believe it's in Revelation, where they speak about people believing, not believing God, believing the Antichrist, or not the Antichrist, the beast.
Right.
So we'll stop and look at that. And once again, what is exactly the beast? You know, I somehow think the beast is tied in with computers. I believe that.
The beast system.
Something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, it does, it's not traveling alone, put it that way.
All right.
There's something there, and it's a comment made to me by my ex's brother 30 years ago. How people trust Google more than they trust a human being. You know, he threw that at me, and I was like, whoa.
That's a sad commentary.
And let's stop and think about that, you know, and that scared me. It did, you know, from a humanity standpoint. I'm going, we're putting people are putting their trust, yes, in a machine that spits out answers, and they think that's gospel. That's scary.
It is scary.
All right. And if I, by chance, kind of knocked the trajectory of the conversation away by introducing AI, I apologize.
No, that is hot and heavy in everything. Elon just he's Grok 4. You know what I mean? He's pushing that.
Yes. I saw that, but like you, or like John, there's no flipping way I'm going to be messing with alien intelligence, alien, not outer space alien, but alien intelligence, AI, whatever, artificial intelligence. I just ain't doing it.
Dump your X account title into the AI. See what it says.
For a profile summary.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did mine, and I was like, oh, really? It wasn't far off.
Which, you know, it's part to me.
Well, it wasn't far off. Wasn't dead nuts. But that's enough of an area to cause a problem. See, we already have AI making mistakes. I've tested it on Google. I've tested it on X. We're already seeing mistakes. The information that comes back is not accurate. Ask some questions about Islam, Doug. You already know the answers to the question, and then what Google's telling you.
That's a good point.
We're already so there's a manipulation right there.
Right. Right.
And that's a little scary. I'll give you one example, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. In the Quran, it says that it only requires a woman to cover her bosom. Now, suddenly, the Quran online, anything you see, the bosom and the head. Well, and the head wasn't in that verse 12 years ago. I don't know when it changed. But now everything you see, it's now bosom and head. The head's covering the head's a cultural thing. This has nothing to do with that. They always hide behind that as a religious thing. It's not. It's cultural. Their religion does not demand that. It just says cover thy bosom, which every woman should be covering her bosom.
And especially, never mind. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
But that's an interesting way to walk into the AI. Challenge AI. That's what I would do, ladies and gentlemen, who are listening on the chat and all. Take something that you absolutely know the gospel truth to and punch it into AI and see what you get.
But isn't the deployment, again, for the sake of convenience, because my goodness, we have knowledge. It's being sold as knowledge. You ask a question, seconds, you get answers. But
stop and think about this, John. This is a scenario.
Okay.
We're into an exchange with another country with missiles. Okay. You got a human, present day, you have a human being. Okay, well, respond this way. Okay, respond this way. Joint Chiefs making decisions. We're talking about war in the United States and war in another country. We're exchanging missiles, so to speak. Now take that same scenario, a big chess game. Turn it over to AI. AI may say, sacrifice a city. where the human might say, no, we have to protect every city. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
AI in a strategic game will make sacrifices that a human won't, because it's 100% based on intellect and logic, not on emotion.
That's right.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, should scare you for decision makers to be leaning on AI. That's my opinion.
Amen.
John, I think John probably agree with that. I would throw out.
I think we're probably a decade or two away from people doing that. Youngsters that grow up with AI being part of their lives are more likely to rely on it than people our age that are making decisions right now.
Yeah.
But I could see that easily happening with a young man, a boy or girl who's maybe 10 right now. AI will have been part of their, they won't remember life without AI. They simply won't.
Oh, it's like our kids, John. Right. My daughter's 16. It's she lives with this electronic stuff.
Right, right.
If I have a problem, I don't call Apple. I call my daughter. Hey.
Right. But in the larger sense, though, gentlemen, is this not, again, everything is done, and Americans are, to me, one of the biggest, they're responsible for this the most. They're for forsaking their security for convenience, or did I say that right? Anyway, boy, I love having this at my fingertips, whereas this, what they're using, is part of a surveillance panopticon, or this holding us hostage, holding us prisoner under this surveillance grid, knowing everything that we do, even before we do it.
Yes, sir. I'm very concerned with this 5G network. When people were confined in their homes, yeah, there were towers being thrown up across the country, across Canada, like crazy. The administration right now, honestly, is trying to sell us a surveillance state.
And that's the other thing. Didn't the big beautiful build a lot for that as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Expand on that? Yes.
And it's being presented almost, I feel like somebody's trying to run the Patriot Act, you know, part two up our butt here.
I'm telling you, John, and you've talked about that, John, too. Boy, we're in a heap of trouble. Go ahead.
Here's the sad part. John's a veteran. I'm a veteran. Doug, you're a patriot. We're all patriots here. All three men sitting here are patriots. And when the Patriot Act came out, at first, we probably shook our heads and said, maybe this is a good idea.
Oh, I know I did. I remember being on Coast to Coast saying, I don't think if this is used properly, I don't think it's going to be a problem. And then I instantly, about a month later, I'm thinking, wait a second. You. Boy, did I screw up.
Yes, sir. And we all did. But Doug, you weren't alone.
Yeah.
You weren't alone. It's just like with the Iraq war, you know, we were all like, yeah, right, we're going to go there and get them. And then you stop and think about it and go, what exactly did Iraq do to us that we invaded a sovereign country?
Right.
You know what I mean? Then the aluminum tubes came into question.
Then
all these things that, and all the things I know that we did to help the Bush administration further conduct that war, Doug.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And be part of that war. And that made me sick to my stomach.
But now, I think all of us now, John and Clyde, well, John, you're rather unique in terms of you were deliberately, consciously slow to move. And I think to move, when I say that, I'm talking about making commitments to certain things. And I think that respectfully is one of your tremendously great attributes.
It's a virtue, man.
Yes, yes.
That's a virtue, John.
Yeah.
We younger guys, we look to you. I look to people like you for wisdom.
Well, thank you.
And I'm not blowing smoke up your pant leg here. I look at guys like you for wisdom. I look at Doug for wisdom. I look at anyone around me that is intelligent. I want their wisdom. I want to try and absorb that. you know, and guys that are slow to act. I respect that because it keeps us alive longer. It keeps us from making stupid mistakes.
And isn't that what we want, Randy, you and I, for the listeners of this platform? John, you do that for the listeners and of your platform. We want that for people.
And that's why we question things, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
You expect that from us. But when you turned on that podcast tonight, you put a certain responsibility on us. And we accept that responsibility.
Man.
And we can only operate, as we said earlier in the show, with what we know and have on hand. And that can change in the middle of the show.
If you think about it, you're not wrong.
Yeah, it's fluid. Yeah. What we're doing, especially us three guys, everything, it's fluid. This is real time as it gets.
Yes.
Well, speaking of that, gentlemen, we have a headline at thelibertydaily.com. The clickable link isn't working, but here's the headline. Israeli engineers mutant plague. New mRNA vaccine makes human cells produce black death proteins. Now, that's a scary headline.
Yeah, it is.
It is, and the clickable link isn't working for some reason, but it's working now, so here we go. And they got an image from the Middle Ages with the guy that was going to steal people's stuff. They had that funny-looking thing over their face to protect them. But here's the first – I'll read the first paragraph here. It's actually one long sentence, just one sentence. In a deeply troubling development, Israeli military scientists have genetically modified one of the deadliest bioweapons known to man, Yersinia pestis, the bacterium that causes pneumonic plague, and then used its altered genetic materials to engineer a new mRNA vaccine that programs human cells to manufacture plague proteins tied to virulence and immune system evasion. Well, that's a clear violation of international law to develop any biological weapon, but obviously Israel is doing it, aren't they?
Well, they're not signed on to any treaty opposing that. Go ahead.
Well, even if you haven't signed the treaty, it's still a violation of international law to manufacture any biological weapon. Scary stuff. Of course, we do it. The Russians do it. The Chinese do it. We all do it. We all have biological weapons programs. That's no secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we go with Israel again. You know, it seems... But folks, man, I'll tell you, every time we mention this, okay, I get emails saying you're anti-Semitic and so on. Other people say, well, it's about time you're calling out Israel. Okay, this has nothing to do with the religious beliefs of the Jews. This is about nation state actions.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, and the incestuous relationship between the U.S. and Israel that I don't agree with. If you have a dual passport, if dual citizenship with Israel, you shouldn't be serving in our government. If you, AIPAC should be registered as a foreign agent lobbying firm as opposed to anything else. Okay. Play by the same rules and have consistent rules across the board. So that's all I'm saying. So Israel is into this. What fresh hell could they release, guys, you know, through this playing around with modifying this stuff? Ain't good. Not good. Just saying.
Anytime you dabble in that, it's not good.
Right.
Regardless of who it is, it's not. These are such dangerous games people play.
And Randy, I got to say this, John has been on top of the mRNA jabs from day one. He's had the best of the best on his show and constantly speaks about the effects of the mRNA jabs. And I look at this and what is, to the both of you, let me ask this question because it's part of the bigger mosaic, as I mentioned earlier. You've got President Trump firmly behind in expanding the mRNA programs. What the hell? Okay. Not good.
Oh, it's not good. It's one of the disappointing things about President Trump and his administration. I was hoping when he announced he would run for president again, he'd go public about being tricked and lied to by Anthony Fauci and Dr. Birx, also called Scarf Lady, about the pandemic being a real deal instead of a fabricated make-believe pandemic. It was not a pandemic, and that the vaccines that he advocated through Operation Warp Speed were in fact dangerous and not safe and not effective. He didn't do that then. He still hasn't done it, and I'm not sure he's going to. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is going to be the person who does that if he does it eventually. They've eliminated recommending the COVID vaccines for pregnant women and for children of the age of 18. That need to move on and make the, no recommendation for these COVID vaccines for anybody of any age. As I've said before, I think last time we visited, Doug, it's been a few weeks ago. I believe they're not removing the recommendation all at the same time to reduce the level of fear and outrage that the public will have once they figured out they've been lied to since 2001, when these vaccines were introduced, the spring of 2001, early winter of 2001, actually. So I'm very disappointed that President Trump is still representing these mRNA vaccines as something good. They're all dangerous. They need to be done away with. All vaccines, no matter what they are, need to be done away with and put in a trash can. We now know, because we keep good statistics in this country, the healthiest men, women, and children in this country have never had any vaccine. They have virtually no chronic diseases, no allergies. They're the healthiest men, women, and children in this country, never having had any vaccine of any kind.
It'll be RFK Jr. that pushes us and gets rid of it. I think he will. I think he operates with a good heart.
I agree.
I see a lot of things in that man that I really like and respect, and he's already stepped out there, and I think he'll continue to. I think he's smart enough to know how to get it done. You know what I'm saying?
I do believe that, but it's
without throwing too much at the administration at one time.
That's it,
right?
That's kind of the way I'm thinking. He has that political understanding of how things work, you know. And I think that's a valuable tool, because if you go in like a bull in a china shop, you get discounted. You do.
From a personal perspective, I agree 100%.
I wanted to make a mention while I was watching the scrolling here of the chat room. Someone did make a good point there. Let's see. Let me get the name here. Radio Frequency Jesus. If Blondie, Cash, and Bongino don't make arrests soon, you can kiss the midterms goodbye.
I'll absolutely
agree with that.
Right.
That was a good call there, Radio Frequency Jesus. I like your moniker, too.
All right. Hey, hold that thought, because I want to get your take on this. As I said at the beginning, when we started out, this larger mosaic, and even Owen Schroyer today had this, what the hell's going on? We know with President Trump, why? You know, and he went through, it was a 7-minute video. He went through a list of things, you know, from Epstein to everything we've talked about so far. So there is, Eric the Tech, I want to get your, again, I'd like to get, gentlemen, I'd like to get your take on this. This would be, and John, this also relates to what you were, this was part of the conversation and the thread on the fluoride issue. Remember I mentioned Pam Bondi. This is a video too, where Pam Bondi, Eric the Tech, video too in the show notes, but where Pam Bondi got up at Turning Point USA and said, here's what we're dealing with. Here's what we're up against. So at this point in this panel discussion here, to folks listening to this at home and watching this in real time and listening to this in real time, I'd like everyone to listen to this. Does this have a ring of truth to it? And are we too quick to judge. This is video two. It's only a couple minutes, but it's mandatory to listen to get all sides of the story. Here it is. Okay. So yeah, here's Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, Director of National Intelligence. She knows what's going on. And here's her position. And she stated last Saturday, I believe it was, at Turning Point USA. Just a segment of her speech. Here it is.
You think the campaign was hard? You think what President Trump went through was hard? And it was. The road ahead will not be easy. I can attest personally that in my work as the Director of National Intelligence, the deep state is fighting us every step of the way. And it exists within every single federal agency. And so I feel the same frustration that I see many of you expressing on X or in different platforms about why aren't things going faster? Why aren't we getting results more quickly? I feel this frustration every single day. We are pushing hard. Know that they are pushing hard back. It's okay. We're not going anywhere. We're here to fight for you and to fight for the red, white, and blue that's behind you. We can't do this alone. It will take all of us who love our country and who deeply cherish our freedoms to stand united in this fight. It's going to come with hardship and sacrifice. As you know, it comes with name calling and smears and lies and attacks. But here's the beautiful thing, is the harder they push back, the more smears and lies that are published in the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Atlantic and many others, the more we know that we are exactly on the target. And on those days where you might feel a little tired and you might feel a little discouraged, and we all get there at some point in time, I go back and think about what President Trump has been through. He has sacrificed more than anyone else. He has been attacked and targeted more than anyone else. And most significantly, 1 year ago tomorrow was the day in Butler, Pennsylvania, when a gunman tried to take his life, missing by just a hair. And so on those days when you feel like you're not quite sure if you have any more fight left in you, think back to that day when he popped right up. He was not cowed. He was not afraid. He was not running away. What did he do? He raised his fist and looked at all of the people who were there, just as you are here today. And he said, fight, fight, fight. And that's exactly what we have to continue to do. Not motivated by hate for those who are trying to take our freedoms away, but by love. I know President Trump is motivated deeply by his love for our country. This is where his strength and his resilience comes from. He is motivated deeply by his care for every one of you, every one of us, the American people, and his commitment to make the most of every single day that he has in the White House to bring about this reality of a country where we can live in peace with prosperity and security and freedom for all Americans. This is why I'm so grateful to be able to have earned President Trump's trust and confidence to be able to serve as a member of his cabinet.
Is this genuine? Does she really believe what she's saying? Is she selling us a bill of goods? And the question would also apply to Randy, but I mean, John, coming out of the gate here after this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I've been dealing with this for quite a while with close friends, my wife and others. One advantage that you're with any large organization, Randy and I were both with the U.S. Army, but it could be Ford Motor Company, IBM, Walmart. Any large organization cannot change all that quickly. And that's just a reality. And President Trump took office, the third week of January? So we're a little more than 6 months into his presidency. these massive federal bureaucracies, what took place today with the State Department? They have, I think, 60 different HR offices instead of one.
You know, I mean, I did not know that. When I found that out, I was like, well, you got to be kidding me. But
exactly. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of these bureaucracies. They take on a life of their own. And I know I've made presentations where I'll bring a ink on paper copy of the Federal Register with me, and I'll ask the audience, I'll tell the audience, first of all, this is published by the U.S. government, and listen here, new regulations that are and proposed regulations, and I'll ask the audience how frequently I bring with me an average page count copy, not a small one, not a large one, but an average page count, which at the time we're looking at 15, 16 years ago, was about maybe 100 pages or 150 pages. And the audience say, well, it's published once a month. And somebody say, once a quarter. And I'll hold up, I'll say, gentlemen, ladies, this is published every working day of the year. And the page count begins with the first working day of the year, which typically would be January 2nd or 3rd, depending on where the weekend lies. And the last working day of the year being December 31st. And the page count is in the tens of thousands. And every Fortune 500 company, every Fortune 1000 company either has one or two or three staff people, or they may hire a service that reads the Federal Register every day, working day of the week, because if there's a new regulation that has the force of law behind it and they miss it, they could be in big trouble really quick, because these regulations that these agencies have the force of law behind them, even though Congress did not pass a law. So going back to Tulsi Gabbard, I want to give them time to do what they need to do. Look at what happened today with the firings of the State Department. It took 6 months for the Trump administration to figure out who needs to be fired at the State Department, and today they were fired. 6 months. And the revelations of 60 HR departments. Now, most Fortune 500 companies have one HR department, not 60. That would be, what board of directors would authorize that? 60 agents, departments duplicating the same work. And what was the count? There was a count of how many offices distribute the checks as instead of one. Instead of all the checks coming from one office, they come from a number, I don't recall the number, but it was an obscene number of offices that distribute the checks paid to the State Department people. And of course, there's been for decades a working relationship between the CIA and the State Department, with people pretending to work for one while they actually work for the other, pretending to be a State Department employee when actually they're drawing a paycheck from the CIA. And that has been discussed publicly. I'm not aware of it, but that needs to be discussed also, where the State Department provides cover for the CIA to do their covert operations. So I'll give Tulsi a attaboy for what she said, and that I believe that given the enormity of the job, that they're doing the best they can, and turn it over to Randy for his response.
I like her. I also like to see loyalty in the administration. We saw too much of that in the first term with President Trump, people within his administration turning on him. So it's kind of, to me, even if there's a little bit of trouble, it's like if your parents are arguing, they try not to let the kids know it. You know what I mean? There's a people lose faith when they see people within the administration arguing. People lose faith in the system. And President Trump's trying to generate and rebuild faith in the government that was really destroyed in the 4 years prior to his term. That's the other thing, too. I think when they feed a little bit of misinformation, I think that helps them expose moles and traitors within the ranks.
Well, the moles and traitors, they're going through all these people's emails, their social postings, going back years to determine who they can trust and who they can't.
Oh, yeah. I told, remember, Doug, I said that I would have loved to have had a job going doing those investigations. Absolutely would have loved it. Because if my job was there to behind the scenes, never be seen, nobody even knew I exist, protect President Trump, that to me, and have the finances to do it, that would be a very, very, very interesting job and exciting job. And I'd also know exactly what's going on.
But then I think about what you said, and I think about it, about us, and I also think about, could we survive, or would we want to survive in the political environment where you've got this almost a schizophrenic type of situation that we see developing that's causing this rift within his base of support, where, you know, people are losing trust, and he's got to real. I mean, you would think that he's got to realize that a lot of people are losing trust. John, what you said is 100% right on. I believe in Tulsi. The fact that she was on no-fly list placed there by the former regime, harassed, surveilled and such. Yeah, I see where she's coming from. She fought her own battles, but.
She's very hands-on, too. That's what I like about her.
Yeah, yeah.
She's in everything. You know?
Yeah. So, okay. So I wanted to play that to contrast. You know, we're not, I don't think any of us here are ripping on President Trump. We're just questioning the decisions and asking who are making the decisions that we're seeing that are in
We're seeing things opposition. That contradict what we expected.
Correct. Yes. And who is doing that, yes, and why? Who and why? So that's the bigger issue, because think about it, guys. There are so many platforms you can go to, and you get all of these excuses. You get all of these insane these ramblings of, well, you know, it's because, by doing this, President Trump is exposing this. Now, some could be true, but others are such a stretch. We just want the truth and nothing but the truth. That's all we want. I mean, John spent his entire life, pretty much after the military, in pursuit of truth, as I have been, and Randy, you as well. So we just want the truth, and that's what we're striving to get. That's kind of my position on Tulsi and on Trump and what we're fighting against. We only have about 25 or 20 minutes left. John, I want to turn it to you. Whatever topic that you want to bring it up, and Randy will do the same with you. But John, go ahead, and wherever you want to take this, because so far it's been a very interesting conversation, I think, and intellectual. Go ahead.
I've had friends that before the election in November were very concerned about the possibility that President Trump may not be reelected, and they were making preparations for their family to have a safe haven. The day after President Trump got reelected, they discontinued those preparations. They still believe that they're necessary, and the preparations they made are waiting for their families. But the motivation to continue doing more had gone away. And I'm highly confident that it's true for tens of thousands of families around the country who were concerned that Heels Up Harris could have been our president, and the destruction of our republic would continue. I want to advise everybody that just because President Trump was reelected doesn't mean the threats have gone away. President Obama still has a very large mansion right down the street from the White House. The people that he works with have not given up trying to destroy our republic. Hillary Clinton and all the rest of them have not given up wanting to turn us over to the communists. Joe Biden's first campaign was paid for by the communist Chinese when he ran for senator more than half a century ago. These people have not gone away. They have not given up. Perp walks will slow them down. President Trump's presidency will slow down the New World Order for many years. If J.D. Vance follows him for 4 to 8 years, especially eight years, that will slow down the New World Order for at least a generation. That needs to happen, but we can't make assumptions. There's an old term that I want to communicate right now. Desperate people do desperate things, and the Obamas, the Clintons, and the rest of them, the Communist Chinese Party, they're desperate. They see what they've been working on for decades slipping away, slipping through their fingers, and they want to see this happen. The Communist Chinese regard the 21st century as their century. They regard the United States, North America, as Chinese territory because some Chinese explorer got here before Christopher Columbus. In their minds, that it gives them control over North America, believe it or not. They have a very bizarre way of thinking. For example, Taiwan has never been part of some Chinese empire in history, but Taiwan has never been part of Communist China, and they keep using the words that they want to reconnect Taiwan to Communist China. Well, it's never been part of Communist China. It's kind of a rabbit trail there. We're getting back to
interesting when you compare that to Ukraine. Ukraine was part of Mother Russia,
right?
You know, so yes, continue.
Yeah, well, Ukraine had a literate, educated population, while the Russians were still illiterate peasants, doing what they did to stay alive. That's kind of a rabbit trail. Getting back to our listeners, I want to urge our listeners to keep their heads on a swivel, to continue making prudent, what I call prudent preparations, that their family has a safe haven in the event that the cells we have here, we have terrorist cells that are involved Middle Eastern men, Chinese men, Russian men, men from Central and South America that mean harm for our country. They have not gone away. They're still here. These sleeper cells, as they're called. And will they be activated? I don't know. Could they be activated? It could. I base my decisions based on what our enemies could do, not what they will do. I don't know what they will do. I focus on what they could do. And you'd be very prudent to work on that and make sure your family has a safe haven, a place where they'll be safe, preferably 50 or 100 miles away from a major city, being 250,000 people or more, where you have a proprietary source of water, a good stock of food, a two-year supply of food stocked up, and a beginnings of a hobby farm where you can raise your own fruits and vegetables and meat on your own without any outside assistance, and a way to communicate, ham radio skills, the equipment to go along with it, obviously skills to protect innocent life from criminals and terrorists if necessary. Those necessities have not gone away, and I want to encourage people to continue on that track of having a safe haven. If you can't live there, then have a way to get there, at least two different ways to get to that safe haven if you can't live there for whatever reason it might be. And I just want to keep emphasizing that, Doug, and also keep in mind that what we're dealing with ultimately is a spiritual war. Maintain our Christian values, maintain our faith, and pray daily. My wife and I pray at least 3 times a day, and I want to encourage everybody to pray as frequently as they can, Doug. And that'll be my statement for the time being.
I love that encapsulized version of what's going on, but what we need to do to keep our families, ourselves safe. Randy Taylor.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, same thing with you, right? I mean, John made some great points. I mean, your assessment.
Everything John said, I go with that. And if you just need a list, grab a hurricane supply list if you want to know what to have around the house.
There you go. Okay,
seriously, that's a really quick go-to. You should always have get bags. A get bag is what you need in a bag if you had minutes to go and get out. What would you take with you?
Yep.
And you need to have those. You need to have those ready. Cash. Small bills. Okay, that way you're not paying $20 for a gallon of milk. All right. Because if nobody will have change, believe me. I was fortunate enough to go through hurricanes, so I understand that mentality and that people fighting each other for the last bag of ice, fist fights in the parking lot. I've been there, done that, seen it. You know, people turn into animals. And unfortunately, Florida, when I lived there, was absolutely loaded up with people from third world countries. So believe me, they would stab you over a bag of ice. You wouldn't think twice about it. But John's absolutely dead nuts right on that. I think we have a problem with Islam in the country. We lost New York City to a Muslim mayor.
Not yet, but almost.
But that's going to bring about some horrible things if it happens. We also, in New York, he's already elected. Minneapolis,
New York is, he won the Democratic nomination.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Think of the disaster if he's elected. And look at Minneapolis. This guy, this other guy. Keith Ellison. We know he's in this somehow. We have got where they're trying to sneak Sharia law into this country. When the New York Police Department has Sharia police cars and Sharia officers, things have already gone too far.
Do they have those?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not aware of that. Tell us about it.
I just know they exist.
Well, let me interject this. So there are vehicles used by the Islamic centers, and this is flying under the radar of a lot of people, and there's a lot of misunderstanding with this. So Islamic centers are using their, for lack of a better term, security guards, using vehicles that equipped with lights and sirens that are related to, and this is a broad brush, over time, they had like a consultation role with NYPD. So go ahead.
The Muslim Community Patrol and Services, a nonprofit organization established in 2018.
Okay.
Based on reports, and MCPS operates volunteer patrols in Brooklyn. My point is, they're in new NYPD cars.
Yes.
They're presented as NYPD.
Really?
That's already too far. That's already gone too far. Even if it's just a name on a car, it's already gone too far.
And they're not Sharia enforcing law. They're enforcing Sharia law.
Thank you. And that's wrong. It's just like having these Muslim legislators in our houses, that their loyalties lie with something else besides the United States of America. Okay? Ilhan Omar should not be where she is. That Tlaib. Rashid Tlaib? Is that
Rashida
it?
Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah, that one. That creature should not be in a legislative house making laws for Americans.
Correct.
None of this. These people that support communism, that support an alternative way of life other than red, white, and blue, baby, should not be in a legislative seat. And if you have allegiance to communism, John, were we not taught to kill communists?
That's right. Right.
And now they're on the ballot.
Right.
That's a slap in the teeth to guys like the three of us. It's a slap in the teeth to everybody in America.
Well, the American Communist Party stopped running candidates for president because they said publicly that we don't need to anymore. The Democrats have our complete platform. We don't need to run candidates anymore.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. And in Canada, guys, there's actually the Communist Party of Canada. They are on the ballots.
Yeah, the Communist Party of Canada, CPUSA, same here. Oh. But they exist, but you're right, though. Democrats, the Democrats have carried their water.
Yeah, the freedom of speech gets abused. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's a line there somewhere, and we've gone way over the line. We've allowed too much. If you look at Minneapolis, and we talked about this last night, Minneapolis for years and possibly still is a recruiting ground for overseas terrorist organizations.
Really?
Yeah, what was it, Al Saud? I can't think of the name of the organization that was Al-Shabaab.
Al-Shabaab. I screw that up all the time. Go ahead.
But you know what I'm talking about, over in Africa.
Yeah.
Yes. And coming out of, they traced them back. They were killing them over there and tracing their identities back to Minneapolis.
And John, not far from you are some headquarters of the Islamic, other Islamic offshoots, okay, including the people who were involved with the Holy Land Foundation back in the day, reformatted and refined, and again, just north of where you're at, a few hundred miles, you've got hotbeds of these types of groups.
There's two Muslim cells in the Columbia, Missouri area, and I don't know how many, but I know several in the metro St. Louis area.
And remember the term stealth jihad?
Yes.
That's alive and well.
Robert Spencer, I think, coined that phrase.
Yeah, and Robert nailed it dead on the head. I mean, bam. That's perfect, because they're doing it two ways. They do it with their cells, and then they also do it with creeping Sharia. It's another term that I believe...
creeping Sharia, that's correct. Yeah.
And when you look at it, we're getting hit from all sides. I was typing today a message to someone, and it was an X post, and I started naming the countries that Islam has either overrun or is very close to overrunning. And as I was typing, and I got done typing, and I looked at it, and seeing all those names together hit me very hard that it's gone way too far.
And we're talking in a period, John, post 2001.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. But go on.
And absolutely insane in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Just crazy, crazy, insane. We're getting hit with from all sides, and they're flat out populating us. That's another problem.
And isn't it, John, to your previous point, you know, the depopulation agenda, you could talk about fluoride as well, but all of the other substances, the things that we are being, the things that we are exposed to, the depopulation agenda there, it's absent or largely absent from those countries and those groups of people, and that's by design. But
man, that's scary.
Yeah.
What are the implications there? I sit here and I look at it and I'm like, why are they slamming Muslim populations into the Western industrialized nations to the point of crippling them? Why?
Yeah, and John, I've talked about that too. Go ahead.
I'm throwing that out there as a why. Let's bat a few. But
We got about 5 minutes. So John, I mean, tell me again that phrase you use: Muslim, communist, Muslim,
socialist, communist, Muslims, Democrats. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
That covers it.
Yeah.
So I mean, in a few minutes, John. I mean, you've been on this as well, at the forefront of this. What is your? Is that just one method of capture or one? I mean, what is that in the tapestry that I've referenced here of the takeover, this takeover tapestry? Where does that fit in? Is it part of it, or is it the goal, bigger shelf?
The goal of Islam is to have Islam conquer the world. There's a group of Muslims called the Baha'is. They're known in the Muslim community as being the most peaceful group of Muslims. My wife, Dr. Moore, now deceased, she was invited to a Baha'i meeting by all the members there. All the people at the meeting were native-born Americans, and there was a couple of chiropractors. And I said, honey, if you want to go, you should go. So she went, and she came back. She says, oh, they're all such peaceful, kind, loving people. And I want to go back. And I said, well, if you should do that, but you should ask three questions of the leader. And I gave her the three questions, and the leader did answer them properly and correctly. First question, what's the goal of the Baha'i religion, of Islam? And the answer was, the correct one, to convert the entire world to Islam. Second question, how do you intend to do that? She once again gave the correct and proper answer. We intend to do that by peaceful, loving methods. Third question, what do you intend to do with those who won't go along with that meth? And once again, the answer was correct. We will kill them. Now, this was native-born Americans who had converted to Islam, the Baha'i faith, which is one of the Islam parts of their religion, not people who grew up in the Middle East, not people who went to Muslim schools in the Middle East, but native-born Americans that are willing to kill those who won't go along with conversion. That should tell you all you need to know, gentlemen.
It does.
Another thing that people are overlooking is the conquest of Islam into Africa. That gets overlooked because nobody talks about it. But they're doing exactly what John just said. They come in peacefully. They go into these villages where the people are starving and can't grow anything. They feed them. Then they introduce them to Islam. When they go into the villages and they get resistance, they kill them.
That is true.
So if you look at the ideal execution of the Islamic faith, look at Africa because there's nobody there to stop them.
And speaking of Africa, gentlemen, we also have the communist Chinese, on a nation state level, overtaking the resources and the advantage
to converting Africa to Islam isn't because of necessarily great resources, other than people to fight. Those are soldiers they can recruit, that they can literally force and conscript into Islam.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah.
In other words. Yeah.
Because nobody ever talks about what's going on in Africa, but if you watch, ever since 9/11, they also started a conquest into Africa. And if just watch the news, dig off of CNN, get off of MSNBC, get outside of the country and look at news sources. Go directly to that country, to their news sources.
Amen to that.
I agree.
Gentlemen, it's been a fantastic discussion about many topics. I think the painting of the picture, the bigger picture here, I think that a lot of people understand the complexity of the issues at hand, but I want to thank you for addressing every potential topic that we touched on tonight. John, folks, tune into John's program, thelibertyman.com, his website, his program every weekday morning. The guy is a machine. I have a lot of respect for him. Randy Taylor as well. And I will end with this. Gentlemen, tomorrow will mark the 29th anniversary of the downing of TWA Flight 800. And I'll just add this. If you ask AI, Grok, or whatever, it was a center fuel tank explosion that took it down, when we know, in fact, it was not that.
That's right.
It was a U.S. missile that took it down.
U.S. Navy.
That's right. So, and Jack Cashel, a good friend of mine, wrote the book TWA 800. He wasn't wrong then, and he's not wrong now.
Good for him.
Yeah. So, but gentlemen, thank you. I just, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being a part of the show.
It's good to see you guys.
Yeah, absolutely great to see you, John. I haven't seen you in a while, too, Randy.
It's been a while. Yep.
Right on, man.
Well, gentlemen, have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you. All right. God bless you, my friends. Thank you so very much for all you do. Again, folks, support John Moore, support Randy Taylor as an independent.